Once again, we come in the presence of God to study His Word. I'm really enjoying being with you. And I appreciate your attitude, and I hope that I can help do good. That's what I want to do. Today, this morning, whatever this is, this afternoon, whatever it is, I want to talk about choosing one's influences. Choosing one's influences. When we are born and while we are young, we have very little choice in the things that influence us. But the older we get, the more power we have if we choose to use it. That's the thing. You have to be willing to choose to use it. If we choose to use it to determine the things that do influence us, the things we bring into our lives, the power of the human will is such that if one wants to and has the ability to do so, there is almost no condition of upbringing that cannot be overcome. In my own life, this has been a very special thing. In my mother's life, it's been a very special thing. She and my dad were good people. And she had a very unfortunate upbringing. But she made up her mind that that was not going to be the way she lived. So I want to encourage you to realize that no matter how you have lived, if you want to enough, you can change it. It is important for us to know this and believe it. If we have this conviction, there is no end to the growth that we can make. All one has to do to see the truth of this is to think about characters in the Bible who made tremendous changes for good. They came from terrible backgrounds. For example, Josiah. Good King Josiah, whose father was wicked Amon, and his grandfather was even more wicked Manasseh. Terrible! How in the world could Josiah be anything with ancestors like that? And yet he was one of the best kings that Judah ever had. Or think about Hezekiah. Hezekiah's wicked, wicked father was Ahaz, one of the most wicked kings ever in Judah. And think of the changes the Apostle Paul had to make. It is astounding to me to think about Paul and the changes he made. Reared at the feet of Gamaliel, zealous in all the traditions of the Jews, and yet when the Lord appeared unto him in the road to Damascus and called him, he listened. And he went to Damascus to be told the things that he must do. And he made those changes. He made those changes. And think about the changes that the Corinthians made in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Let me use a few illustrations to kind of set the stage here. Think about your home or your room. You may not have a home, you may have a room that you're concerned about. How outraged we would be to find that someone dumped garbage and refuse in our rooms, on our floors, on our beds. I've had a little experience of that. I have a dog, not my own dog, but this dog that wished he had never upset my garbage can. I made life miserable for that dog. I didn't kill him or anything like that. I scared him to death. But that dog decided he had business elsewhere. Or think about your house or your room, and you go into your room, you go into your house, and you find paint is sprayed all over the place. Somebody has vandalized that. Don't you know how upset that would be to you? We don't like to find the dog has scattered our garbage out by the curb, thrown bottles in litter in the yard, and we should view improper influence as the garbage that gets in our lives. So I want to use this now as a kind of a setting, and now I want to make some points. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, such a good verse. I think all of the verses in Proverbs are good verses. People that know me well know that I recommend every verse in all the Bible. Keep your heart with all diligence. A good verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Your heart. That thing that thinks in you. That thing that plans and that wills. You need to be careful. Springs have always been interesting to me. I've known some springs. I always kind of remember springs. They're very special things. I remember a man, Leo Plotter. I don't know if any of you know him, but he was an Alabama preacher. And he had a house. And up in the back of that house, up on the hill in the back of that house, he had a spring. And the water ran down the hill, came into the house, and I was there, and you could go in the kitchen, and the water was always running. You say, I need to turn that off. Well, why? Because it's going to run up there on the hill. But the thing is, you know what they had to do? They had to be careful about the spring. Do you realize if you got your water from a spring, do you realize how important it would be for you to take care of that spring? Because if you don't take care of that spring, there's no telling what may get into that spring up there. Some decaying animal, would you like to drink something like that? Yick. No. You want to keep it. Keep it so that it's safe. Keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. In Matthew 15, verses 18 through 19, out of heart come the things that defile a man. They originate, you think them. You think them, and then often you act upon them. And they are those things that defile a man. And Jesus in Luke 6 and verse 45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what is good. The heart is so important. Now I have some examples that I want to use. I want to use the example of a young man. This young man, I've known him for, at this point, I've known everybody for decades. So I met this young man when he was at Hanceville, Alabama, where I lived for many years. And he graduated after I left. But I knew him even then. So at about the time he was graduating, I said to his, Craig was his name. I said, Craig, I want to give you some advice. I want you to hear what I've got to say. And I told him, I did not know much about wisdom when I was your age. A lot of the things that happened to me, and I'm blessed. I was fortunate. So I didn't know about planning. But I knew that I wanted to find somebody that would help me be what I wanted to be. So I planned to find someone who would help me, a woman who would help me to be what I wanted to be. And so I found a woman who became my best friend. And I married her. That worked out well. She died over 3 years ago. I've missed her ever since. I found what I was looking for. But you have to look for it. You need to live by principle. So what I told Craig was, live by principle. That's the advice I gave him. Craig, live by principle. He knew right from wrong. I said, live by what you have learned. So then he went to Auburn University. So I continued my association with him, held meetings there. And I remember him at Auburn University when he was about to graduate. Now, 4 years later now, he's about to graduate. So I meet Craig again, still a fine fellow. You know what he told me? I remember your advice. And I have lived by principle. Isn't that something? I have lived by principle. He was taught, trained, knew what to do. And he said, I have lived by principle. I continued to know him. Went somewhere else. Got his job. I saw him get married. Good woman, good wife. She loved him. I think she would have eaten him up if she had had the opportunity. It was a good relationship. Now they've had, at last count, about 3 children. You know what the last thing he told me was? I have lived by principle. What I want to tell you is you need to live by principle. Do you know any principles? Of course you do. The Bible is full of principles. What you need to do is say, that is my principle. Those are my principles. And I am going to live by those principles. It will influence my life. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what God wants you to do. That's what He wants you to do. I'm very thankful that Craig did that. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Now, I want to expound a little bit about exactly what that verse means. Pay careful attention to this. In the context of 1 Corinthians 15, the emphasis is that association with deceivers who are full of skeptical ideas is bound to react hurtfully on the good way of life of Christians. That's exactly the point. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. That's the point. Instead of letting the divine truth mold their manner of living, they let the false and insidious ideas of their associates mislead them. Now, young people, pay attention. Whom are you going to let influence you? You need to be careful about that. Whatever you... this is going to be my influence. That's going to determine your way of life. It will affect your life either really good or really bad. So instead of letting the divine truth mold their manner of living, they let the false and insidious ideas of their associates mislead them. What I'm saying is, don't you do that. Don't you do that. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, the words are the fatherly instructor, as we sometimes refer to him. I'm going to begin in verse 8, where the fatherly instructor says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be a chaplet of grace under thy head, like a little circlet that you set on your brow, and chains about your neck." Not a chain to confine, but a chain to beautify. As you have a life that is a beautiful life, because God has led you, therefore it is a beautiful life. That's what he's saying here. "Forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be a chaplet of grace under your head, and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us, and let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as Sheol, and whole as those that go down in the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Thou shalt cast thy lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, walk not thou with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. And these lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives." We need to beware. Pay attention to these things. In Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The point I am emphasizing in this lesson is our companionships. Our companionships are not limited to the friends we may have, our personal friends. Our companionship also involves the principle mentioned in the beginning of the lesson. We have the power to choose the influences we allow in our lives, while we may not run with a crowd of wicked people. We may get those wicked companions on chat rooms or pornographic sites on the internet, Facebook, or YouTube. I think all of you know that all it takes is the click of a button. And it's an awful thing. You click that button, and then where are you? Where are you? You're surrounded by all of the demonic forces of Satan. We may get those wicked companions on television programs and movies that we get and turn on and watch, go to the theaters and watch, videos we rent and buy, play them for our entertainment. We may get those companions in the books that we read. No one who is serious about eternal life can afford to allow these influences free course in his heart. So I say that to you. That is true of me. It is true of you. All ages, all of you need to be careful about what you choose as your influence. You need to turn the evil influences off. Sometimes that's hard. You need to turn them off. And we need to seek those good influences. That's what we need to look for. That's what we want in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 18. Listen to this powerful passage. As Paul begins this paragraph in verse 15, he says, "Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." That's what we need to do. That's the kind of influences that we need to seek. In Hebrews chapter 10, listen to this. This passage. Hebrews 10 and verse 16, from Jeremiah. The writer here says, "This is the covenant." He's quoting God. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days." Now listen. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days. I will put my laws on their heart, and upon their mind also will I write them." See, we have access to this. These are the things we need to allow into our hearts. And they are the things I bid you. Psalm 119, verse 11. "These things have I laid up in my heart that I might sin, that I might not sin against you." Psalm 104, or 119, 104. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." I remember a man who told me that he, as he was trying to teach his children, had a son that he was really working on. And so he got the son. He said, "All right, now, here we go. I'm going to put you in this room here." And it was a hall. And he had some things in that hall. I wouldn't say necessarily I would do this, but I think it worked out well. So he had some things in there, and I forget which way he started. But I think he started with, may have had stuff in the hall there. It was dark. So he said, "All right, now son, you walk down the hall here." So the son started trying to walk, bump. He was having problems. You know why? Because he could not see. So then the father turned the light on. Now he said, "Son, can you walk now? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." You see that? God's word does that. It shines and gives us the illumination that we need. Our hearts need to be concentrated on heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 21. Matthew 6 and verse 21. We need to take advantage of spiritual opportunities to receive good influences. So I bid you pay attention to this. Make it your determination that you will do that. There at least used to be an acronym used in talking about computer programming. And it was GIGO. G-I-G-O. It stood for garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in, what are you going to... You're going to get a garbage out. That's true of your life. I mean, it will not fail. All of us need to understand that. That principle. Garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in, you will get garbage out. This is true of our hearts. We need to keep our hearts clean and pure. You know, sometimes I'll have a thought and I'll say, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and talk about this." That doesn't mean I'm going to go a long time or anything like that. But when I think about the way I live, and I'm going to say, you think about the way you live. Now, for example, I love my mother very much. She's been dead many years now. However I live, I think, would my mother be proud of me? You to think about, would your mother be proud of you? And then I also think about my daughter. Would you be proud of me? You need to think about that. My son, would he be proud of me? Would he be proud of you and the way you're living? My wife, would you be proud of me? We need to think about those things. Let them influence us, drive us, and say, I want to do that which is right. I don't want to disappoint anybody that has confidence in me. But more than that, I don't want to disappoint God. Not at all. So, I don't know what your circumstances are today. I don't know where you are spiritually. But I hope that you will take opportunity of this occasion to think about these things and to make up your mind. You can do it right now. You make up your mind that you're going to choose the good influences. See, you can do that. You don't have to ask anybody. Yes, you can do that. You're willing to pay the price. You can do it. You choose the influence. Good influence. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in Him? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you said, Lord, I'm going to seek for You, nothing else? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed your faith? That's what God tells us to do to be saved. But it may be that you've been a child of God, but you've not been faithful. What do you need to do? You need to straighten your life out. You need to do it today. Don't wait. Do it today. So if you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, we hope you will come as we stand and sing.